everyone. Adequate notice of this meeting, which is on Tuesday, October 9th, 2018, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 2nd, 2018, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker?
Here.
Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here.
And then we have Andrew.
Right. Yeah, this is Andrew Sobel, who's Greg Cannon's partner. So he's taking Greg's place tonight. Since it was on a Tuesday, Greg already had a prior meeting to go to. Okay, well, hello everyone who's here. Small crowd because it's a Tuesday, but thank you for coming. We have a full agenda tonight. We'll be continuing our discussion of water main replacement, which probably our grandchildren will be discussing when they take our place years from now. We'll also be discussing other infrastructure projects. And I wanted to remind everyone that the deadline to register to vote is next Tuesday, the 16th. So if you have any, I know everyone here is registered, but if you have any, if you know anyone or have any neighbors who might not be registered,
there's forms here.
Yeah, please offer them a registration form, which we have here for you to take. And I think we are all aware of how important every election is, but particularly this one coming up on November 6th. So before we begin official business, there's someone I'd like to introduce you to. We all know what a wonderful, what did I just drop? Oh, my bracelet. We all know what a wonderful July 4th celebration we have in Roosevelt. It's a very long time tradition, which I believe we all cherish. And part of why the picnic is so successful is due to the generosity and kindness of H&H Gas. Kenny Horowitz is the owner of H&H, and every year he loans us a commercial-sized grill and a refrigerator at no charge. This saves us a great deal of money and makes setup and breakdown much easier. Kenny even offered to donate a refrigerator to us this year, but unfortunately we didn't have any room for it. Ralph Henninger is the person who actually delivers and picks up the equipment. He, too, takes time out from his day to do this. This year he had to come back three times because one of the days he came couldn't get into the school. So I'd like to present Kenny and Ralph a token of our immense gratitude. Can you come up, Ralph? So from the Borough of Roosevelt, Mayor and Council, Borough employees, and residents, we all wish to express our gratitude to Ralph Henninger for helping to make our annual 4th of July celebration so successful. For many years, Kenny Horowitz and H&H Gas have generously donated grills and refrigerators, and Ralph is the one who kindly delivers them to us and picks them up after our event. It takes a team of people to make our 4th of July celebration run smoothly, and Ralph is part of that team, and for that we are sincerely thankful. So
thank you very much.
We have this for Kenny, which you can give to him
if he
ever comes home from Boston, where he lives part-time now. But it's the same thing. It just says, presented to Kenny Horowitz in deep appreciation and gratitude for all of your generosity to the Borough of Roosevelt. Mayor and Council, July 2018.
Thank you very much.
I just want to say thank you on behalf
of everybody at H&H. We've been affiliated with the town of Roosevelt, to my knowledge, for about 70 years,
yeah.
Or longer.
As long as we've been
the Horowitz family has been around.
Right.
Actually, Kenny's grandfather, Joe Horowitz, bought a farm in Bryanville in the late 1800s. So I don't know how far back Roosevelt goes, but he was here then.
Yeah, 1936.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're wonderful to us.
Thank you very much. I'll make sure Kenny knows about it. He knows about it.
Yeah, he knows because I tried
town.
To get him here. But he
we don't need if he's around. The place doesn't run smooth, so we keep him away.
Thank you.
just turned mine off.
It's my sister. Okay. Okay, come to public comment on agenda items only. It is 7:09, you say?
Okay.
Anyone like to come to the mic? Mr. Connors?
Yeah, I'm Mark Connors, 23 North Rochdale. I just wanted to correct something the way it's written. I submitted a bill for the sewer line, for the video, not for repair. The video shows that it's a town side that it's on. They repaired my part, but that, you look at that video at the end.
I saw that. So
that's on the street side of the
right,
property
right.
line.
So
well,
there's
actually,
more to the bill, or I'm sorry.
Well, I forwarded that to our engineer to review herself, and she wasn't clear about a few things on the video. I mean, we have a refund for you you know, as part of our bills, we do have a refund for you.
But it said for the repair. I want to make sure we understood what you were actually refunding me for.
Okay.
I didn't want everybody to think they were giving me for this when I was actually for this.
So there's another bill, or?
No.
So
being reversed for video.
Okay.
That's paid. That's done.
Right, okay.
Those, toward the end of the video, you see two big loops. That's on the street side.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Great, thanks.
So we'll have to amend that.
Would anyone else like to come to the mic for agenda items only? We're going to get out early tonight. Okay, so we will close the public comment on the agenda at 7:11.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the September 24, 2018 regular action meeting minutes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
You weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, that's true. You should have abstained.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Abstain.
All right, correspondence. We have three different letters. We have a letter from Roberts Engineers, engineer dated October 3rd, 2018, regarding gas station demolition report. We have a letter from Roberts Engineer dated October 5th, 2018, regarding our New Jersey Department of Transportation municipal aid for fiscal year 2019, improvements to Farm Lane. And we have a letter from Roberts Engineer, also dated October 5th, 2018, regarding improvements to Homestead Lane and Cedar Court construction.
On a question?
Sure.
Is Elm Court part of this?
No. This had to do with sewer pipes, and Elm Court wasn't. It's just a letter regarding improvements.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It's in your packet.
Yeah.
No, I've read that. So yeah.
Okay.
Elm is already taken care of. It's PVC. Okay. So.
For the sewer pipes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we come to ordinances. Bond ordinance 18-06, second reading. Bond ordinance providing the replacement of water mains, appropriating $715,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $715,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. This bond ordinance is providing for the replacement of water mains located along Homestead Lane, Elm Court, and Cedar Court. So I will. Should we open the public meeting first? Okay. So I'll open the public hearing at 7:14 p.m. Would anyone like to discuss this again? Mike?
I just have one.
There's a switch on the top bullet towards you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I just wanted to ask. Sorry.
Name for the record.
Michael Ticton.
Address.
37 North Valley Road.
P.O. Box 298. Okay. My question was, I noticed Carmela's letter, she talks about Homestead Lane, about the televising of the sewer lines, indicating that repair is needed to the sewer lines. So my question was, the ordinance is still talking about just the water lines. Is there going to be something done about including the sewer lines in that section of Homestead Lane as well, since we have Homestead Lane open on the same logic?
It really depends if the bond passes. You know, it's pretty
well, of course. Obviously, if the bond doesn't pass, we don't have anything, obviously.
Well, I asked George Lang, did you see the cost?
Is that
$73,000?
$73,000, yes.
So I spoke to George Lang today.
Yeah.
And he's going to research if and where that funding is available.
Okay. Because, I mean, obviously, it would be by the same logic, saying that
exactly.
It was good to repair the water lines, it would obviously be at least as good, perhaps even more important, to repair the sewer.
Yeah.
If there was a choice between the two, probably we should do the sewer lines, because we don't know that the water there's anything wrong with those water lines specifically, and the sewer lines, which we do know there's something wrong with. Okay.
Thank you, Mike. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing at 7:15.
I'd just like to say before we do anything on this that there were a lot more questions from council members, mainly regarding the financial implications and of this project and future projects that we might be embarking on after this. So I think if we could allow some time for discussion again amongst the council on that to answer
now that we
questions.
Have new information also about
yeah,
the sewer.
Right.
How's everyone else on the council feel about that? Mm-hmm. I think we should just go on extending it into infinity.
No, there are a lot of questions, and some of them that came up I thought were good ones. I know that the councilwoman Sheehan had some good questions about it, and I think that some of us may have similar questions too. So, I could go over them, or Deirdre could go over them if she wants, and we could have a discussion about each of them and just kind of, sort out the any kind of questions we might have.
Okay. I guess I'll start with this question.
Could you pull your microphone a little closer, Deirdre?
Okay. Is that okay? My first question is, we do this project. We do Homestead, Cedar, Elm, Nerco. Going forward, how will water replacement pipes, replacing the water pipes, the water mains, be determined? Are we going to continue to apply for repavement grants, which will determine where we replace the water pipes? That's my overriding question is, is that the general plan, or will we kind of, plan initiated because we got these two grants to begin with? So I guess we could start there. That's my question.
Can I jump in?
Sure.
I have answer and question. Okay. From looking at the maps of Roosevelt, I see that some of the sewer pipes have been replaced with PVC already, not the ones on Homestead here.
Right.
So it was really a beautiful thing that we could have this televised at the price
mm-hmm.
that we paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know in general that, and this is the head end of the sewer system, it's uphill. So those pipes are pretty bad to be rarely used. They're not used as much as other pipes. Okay, so that's the sewer. So now we know that. What we do not know is what kind of shape the water pipes are in. We have no idea. There was one section between the water plant and the water tower, apparently, that got
mm-hmm.
redone, and
mm-hmm.
it was caked with mud on the inside, with iron.
So you're talking about Homestead?
No, talking
just
about
general.
From the water plant, the larger pipe.
Okay.
Coming from the plant to feed the water tower.
Okay.
This was done some years ago. I'm not sure when, but from people that were there, Toby, George, other folks, I understand that it was pretty well clogged up, so they really had to clean that out.
Mm-hmm.
And that parlays into one of the resolutions is about cleaning the iron out of the trickling tower mm-hmm. and the settling mm-hmm. tank right. over at the water plant. And that hasn't been done for a couple of years since the new filters went into the water plant. And I understand from the sample that they took that it's like really thick mud. So that's the nature of the water we're pulling out of the ground, so it does need all of this filtration and all of that. So this is also the beginning of the water pipes, just like it is the beginning of the sewer pipes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we know what the sewer pipes are like now. We will not know anything about the water pipes until we dig some up. And this was one of, I mean, I'm 50-50, but now I'm leaning towards doing it because we're going to have the road open. We know what it's going to cost, know that the sewer pipes are bad. So if we pull these pipes and replace them, they're going to be the best pipes in town. And if we see that they're a mess, then we know right off the bat that we have some serious work to do here. So then I would say let's take a pause and let's try to figure out the best, most expedient, reasonably priced way to do the rest of the pipes. So this is kind of the canary in the coal mine to me, to know what these pipes are about, how they're fitted together and all this other stuff. There might be stuff we find out from these pipes that will be invaluable to us for finding funding to do the rest of the pipes. So we just don't know until we open them up. Sewer pipes, you can stick a camera in and look. Water pipes, you don't know until you open them up. Mm-hmm. This is also the closest pipes to the water tower. So in terms of doing the whole town, this would be a great place to start. And again, once we peel this, I've been peeling onions ever since I've been here.
And crying.
And crying. This is like, this is crazy. So what it's like peeling the layers off of that. That'll be the first layer that peels off. We'll know how bad the water pipes are there, you know.
So are you saying to go forward with this bond to look at these water pipes? And
well,
we might not.
No, if we're going to dig them up, we're going to replace them. That's just mm-hmm. the way it is, you know.
Right.
So I've been 50-50 about all of the above here.
Mm-hmm.
And the deeper I get in, the more I say, okay, I'm 51 to 49 in terms of replacing the pipes now. That's just me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, we will learn so much, just like we learn so much by having a camera go down the sewer, you know. So we know more about that now. And if we do these pipes, you know, but then I say hit the pause button and, like, how are we going to do the rest of this town? You know, so if we know that it needs to be done, once the sludge is taken out of the water plant, mm-hmm. it's like the iron that settles into the pipes is really what this is all about, you know. And if the iron settling into the pipes is corroding them from the inside and the acidic soil is corroding from the outside, you know, to replace them with HDPE would be the thing to do, but let's see how bad they are first. So this is really, you know, like I said, I'm 51 to do it and 49 not to do it now. So that's it.
And I can appreciate your questions.
Mm-hmm.
I have them myself.
Yeah.
And a lot of what Joe said is very valid. You know, it's almost like we have to get in there to find out what is going on. And I'm really glad that we're looking at replacing the sewer lines while we're down there. I hope that goes through, too. But your question about, you know, like, what is the plan? You know, I've wondered that myself. And from what I can gather, Carmela is doing her job. You know, she's getting these grants with the road paving. And saw an opportunity for replacing the pipe, the water pipes, while we're repaving the road. So, you know, she did her job and put forth mm-hmm. this idea, because apparently up until now there hasn't been any water main replacement at all in the whole town, ever. And we know that they're bad based on the breaks that we've had. So by digging into Homestead, we can get a real-time idea of what is going on. So that's the plan. I mean, if we don't do anything, even after kicking around all these ideas for the last few months, if we don't do anything, I'm sure that Carmella will have something the next time a road is going to be repaved, probably Farm Road, and then it'll be like, okay, it'll be the same situation. Okay, we're repaving the road, let's do the, you know, and that's her position, and it's valid, and I commend her for it.
It's very expensive.
Well, it is very expensive, but the whole problem we have in town is expensive. So it's really up to the public and us to, while she's doing her job, for us to try to figure out, is there another way that we can do this, mm-hmm. save money? So I'm still, you know, I said last week that I was halfway there with the courts, because I just don't see any other option down the road for redoing the water pipes there. They can't be pipe bursted, they can't be relined, you can't do anything. So it's either just replace it now or not. And since they're 1.5 inch, and if there's tuberculation going on, they're probably a mess anyway. So it was Homestead, really, that I hadn't been convinced yet. But I think with bringing in the sewer lines, using it as a test to see what is going on down there, and for it to be a start, that we're actually starting this process. I think it's important to get going, because we can knock this bond down and kick it around again in a couple of years, and we'll still be in the same hole. So I'm hoping that, you know, since this was brought up, this bond, and that we sort of all ran around looking at other options that could save money, and I think there are options out there to save money. But that's a long process. I mean, you know, like you're talking about televising the sewer pipes. And
so are you suggesting we go forward with this bond and try to come up with another alternative to proceed? That this
Right. So this will be the most expensive, in my opinion, way to go, and it's going to keep happening. You know, the next time the road gets repaved somewhere, this is going to come up again. And if we don't have anything in place as an alternative, then we'll just have to go with it, because the pipes need to be replaced. There are some people who believe that if we just ignore the whole thing and just wait for things to break, that's the way to go. That would be the cheapest way to go.
That's certainly not what I'm advocating.
But some people do. Not on the council.
I'm just, I guess, very concerned about, okay, so we go forward with this. Then we do, what did you say, Farm? It's probably the
Farm
next
lane.
Road.
Yeah.
Farm Lane. How do we manage that?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know, I mean,
if we don't do anything, if we just drop this after this bond goes through, if we just drop it, and then in a couple of years, it's going to pop up again with Farm. And if we don't have any alternatives in play by then, well, then shame on us. I mean, there are options out there, but we have to figure out how to go about finding out where the weak spots are. You know, I still like the idea of addressing the problem areas that Carmella mentioned in one of her letters. You know, there's like 3 or 4 places where there have been numerous or repeated breaks. You know, I would like to see that float to the top, so that we can and take care of that first before we do any more roads. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really up to us how it goes from here. If we don't do anything, then it'll be, next time there's a road repaving, it'll come up again. But if we do something, and, you know, and I keep finding out new stuff every day. I mean, you know, the pipe burst thing, the guy called me back and he said, and I said, well, what, give me an idea of how much this thing costs. And he said, $100 a linear foot is a good rule of thumb. Now, that's pretty good, actually, because if you look at the homestead, it's 1,450 feet. I forget what that comes to, 150,000 maybe?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think that's cheaper than what we're doing right now. So there's that option. Another thing I found today was there is such a thing as televising water lines. You know, I don't know whether it's in New Jersey or you have, but it exists. That there is a method of going in through the fire hydrants and televising water lines.
Really?
So, I mean, you know, there's information we need to gather. We have to assess, you know, where the weak areas are, you know, and come up with ideas. Because if we don't, then we're going to be in the exact same place we are right now with paying what I think is the highest price for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at.
Can I just say that if we delay this and decide at a future point to do it, we won't have the 50% forgiveness and 1% interest rate for 30 years the way that's on the table now. So if you delay it and you wait for it some future point, then we may not have the funding, and we probably wouldn't be able to afford it on our own. I mean, this is a huge gift.
So that's something we have to jump on, you know, because it is available, and we don't know how long that'll last. So
yeah, according to the finance guys, they're very leery of, you know, how long it will last.
Now, chronologically, if we were to do this, the next year, 2019.
I know,
old school. So, 2019, we would be doing Homestead and the courts. The next year, as the plan is now, Nerco Road would be finalized, the paving, which is no water or sewer involved
in.
Then the next year beyond that would be 2021. Should we decide to, then we would be looking at Farm Lane. So we have a little time to say, if we do this, to do it, and then to really look into what else is possible. It'll give us that kind of room to get something done that needs to be done, and then to figure out how can we look at the larger picture then. This is really what I think we need to do, is look at the larger picture.
And what was the amount of the projected increase in,
they assured us between, the way they put between $9 and $11 a month. If it happens, yeah.
One of the things you have to remember about the water sewer utility budget is that just because you add a bond that maybe averages out to $9 or $11 a month for each user, that does not necessarily mean that the utility rates would go up $9 or $11 a month, because it's just another expenditure in a whole budget, which includes operations of both of the plants, all kinds of other, you know, emergency repairs when they're needed, water main breaks, all of that. So it depends on how you control all the other costs, whether or not there's going to be an increase even.
And the other costs are really being controlled.
I was just going to say,
really
we've been
being controlled. These guys are throwing themselves at the water plant and the sewer plant. More needs to be done. I'll talk about that later. But
there's expenses that we are
saving
on a lot of expenses
and then
now by high.
Of another cell tower addition.
Yeah.
One thing I think we need to remember is, even without inspecting the water mains, we know that they're all 82 years old. And 82-year-old pipes in acidic soil in a swamp. Roosevelt essentially was built, you know, like a hand and around the swamp. And so these pipes are shifting. There's acidic soil there. There may even be electrolysis going on along, if there's underground electrical wires along 571. There may be a reaction with the pipes, with underground electrical wires that creates an electrolysis kind of effect that can pit the pipes and cause even more corrosion. So I think we know that, you know, 82 years is a long time for underground pipes to last.
Is Homestead considered one of these high acidic areas or no?
I think basically most of the town is fairly acidic, from what Carmella says.
That's what I've always been told, that our soil is acidic.
Yeah. So, and it's a problem that they have in a lot of towns. But getting back to Deirdre's question, which was how are we going to decide what to do next? Yeah. Basically, yeah, it's kind of how we decided to do this. The fact that we got a road grant. That's kind of how we're approaching it. We get a road grant, so we're looking at that as a cost savings. The road is going to be opened up to a certain extent already. So there's an offset there with that road grant money. While you're paving and opening up the road, maybe you want to replace pipes if they need it underneath there. So I think that's how we're going to proceed. When we get road grant money, we'll take a look at whether or not water and sewer mains need to be replaced, and then we'll decide whether or not to do it. I think we chose water because of the availability of the low-cost interest loans, plus the half of it being paid for by the state. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's so we went with where is the money, where is the benefit? Let's capitalize on those programs to do that work first. Unfortunately, there's no half loan forgiveness for sewer lines. Or I think. I would be in favor of doing that at this point, too, on Homestead. There's not. I think we don't have any doubts that the sewer lines there look like they need replacement from the videos. The 70-some thousand, there's no funding available for that in terms of a bond that's already been passed or anything that we've already authorized. We would have to go out for a separate bond for that if we were going to do the sewer work.
Well, George is looking.
It can be
looking.
Done. Yeah, it can be done. It's compared to the cost of the water main replacement, it's a lot less. But, yeah, how are we going to decide what to do next? And I think behind that is, what are we looking at? So maybe 3 years from now we're going to do another road project.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be an expenditure on the council side, even with the DOT grants for road work. We have to pay roughly half of any road work that we do.
Right.
So that comes out of a bond. And so we're going to be looking at every few years when we replace, when we do the road work, we're going to be looking at possible infrastructure repair and possible bonding for that. If you're going to be adding layer upon layer upon layer of bonding expenses, mm-hmm. yeah, it is going to impact the budget. And it is going to cause increases to kick in. I don't see any alternative with that unless we have some new funding sources come in or we get 90% loan forgiveness or something for some reason from the state or the federal government. But I don't see any real alternative when the pipes are 82 years old in acidic soil, shifting, that have never been touched, never been replaced. Unfortunately, this is the council that's holding the bag on it.
But, you know, I just can't help but think we're really at a tipping point. I mean, everything everybody is saying, it makes perfect sense.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this plan, you know, it makes sense. But I think, at a tipping point. I mean, how much higher can that water bill go before people start selling their homes and moving out, if they can sell their houses? So that's my concern. And what Mike just said right now, going forward in this manner and adding on bond after bond, is pretty daunting. I mean, I think your point is well taken, that, you know, maybe some sort of an ad hoc group of citizens and council members needs to be formed to explore some other alternatives, because this does seem very expensive. I mean, I can see starting here, going ahead with this, but I really kind of fear for, you know.
I agree. I don't think we can afford to open trench the whole town for whatever it costs. I know it can be done for millions less. You know, so mm-hmm. it's up to the town and us to
figure it out.
But it's a lot of work.
We're between a rock and a hard place because it's no one. We all pay the same water bill here. No one wants to see it go up. It's been 6 years, but no, you know, you don't want it to go up. On the other hand, who will want to live in a town with aging infrastructure where we have water main breaks all the time or sewer clogs? You know, that's not healthy for a town either.
So is there any revenue that goes into the water fund?
Yeah.
Besides
our utility?
Cell phone towers?
Cell phone tower revenue.
Anything else? Like, what if we sell the property where the gas station is and there's a business there?
That would go into the regular municipal budget
and
not the
utility. There's no way to divert any general funds into the water?
We borrow from the sewer department from the town, but we have to pay that back.
Yeah.
There's no real way. They're separate because some people don't. You have to remember, some people aren't connected to the utility system.
Right.
So, you know, the budgets really have to be separate because it would be unfair for them to have to pay some of the
costs.
Also,
on the day when you could deduct your property tax,
yeah.
you could not deduct your water and sewer tax. It's separate issues.
But getting back to Deirdre's concern, and I know we all have concerns about the water sewer rates, they're really high to begin with. They're high for a reason.
I thought I was just
back in 92, and maybe even a little bit before that, I know a previous council, I think it was the Allen administration, they knew that the sewer treatment plant needed a lot of work. Needed basically a pretty good size overhaul. There were some low interest loans, and I think some grants that were available at the time to do that work. They were really reluctant because they didn't want to see the water sewer rates go up, so they were reluctant to bond to do basically $1 million project maybe. So they hesitated and they waited. Then what happened was the DEP came in and said, you have to do that now. And they went to get funding on it, and they found out that the original funding sources, which were subsidized, were gone. They had to take out a farmer's home loan, over 6% interest.
Well, now it's down to 5, but...
Yeah, but still.
6, 5.
It's not 1%, like what we're looking at here.
Right.
And so the cost of paying back that bond was pretty high.
You're still paying it back.
We're still paying it back, and they refinanced it from 30 years to 40 years, I think, at one point, because it was, you know, try to drive the cost down a little bit. But those costs really caused the water sewer rates to go up incrementally.
Well, it was a combination of fines and then the actual work that had to be done.
Yeah, so
a couple of million dollars worth of work had to be done. And it's at least done, but now that is starting to go. That's starting to crumble. Concrete from then is starting to go and whatnot.
Yeah. One of the things that happens, though, is some of these loans do retire, just like mortgages do. As you pay them down, they eventually get removed from the books. But I think Deirdre's concern is the same concern that we all have. You know, how are we going to be able to afford it moving forward if eventually over the next 2 or 3 decades we're going to replace all the water mains in town and maybe even all the sewer mains because they need it. I don't know the answer to that unless mm-hmm. we can get other funding sources as we go along, unless the state comes up with a program for sewer main replacement too at half the cost too.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a choice. We can't really contract out for water delivery to our homes. It has to go through our pipes. We can't go to the next town and say, can you deliver water to our homes? No, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And unfortunately, it was 82 years and nothing was done to these lines, but nothing needed to be done until they started to really break and we looked at the condition of them. So I think we are going to need a short range and long range financial plan to figure out how is this going to play out. In terms of the budgets, in terms of the water, sewer, utility bills.
And the quality of the water and sewer.
Right. We'll have to go out 10, 20, and 30 years
exactly.
and graph it.
Yeah.
and look at when some loans are going to be retired, other loans are going to come on board. How's that going to affect the utilities? When you look at what we pay for utilities, I paid just about that amount for cable TV per month. I used to. Yeah. I got rid of it.
Yeah.
It was expensive, and there were a lot of stations I didn't watch. But, yeah, it's expensive, and some people are on fixed incomes. Some people are very limited. But, again, it all depends on how well we manage all of our expenses, not just these bonds, but the operations of both of the plants, because that's all part of that system. You know, that's the big drain on the system. It's the operation of the plants.
I disagree there. The big drain on the system is paying the bonds back that were already there in place. I'd say well over 50% of what we
less than pay. 50%. It's about 30-some percent.
30-something is paying the bonds?
I did an analysis. Okay. Yeah, bond principal and interest payments were around 30%
of
your average
bills?
Yeah, of your average water sewer bill.
I'll trust you now, but I'll take a look at that myself. But that's 30%. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
You know,
it is a lot. Yeah. But it's the same thing when you live in a house. You know, how much of your income goes to pay off the mortgage?
Yeah. Well, that's why I say now we should go forward with this. We should hit the pause button, and we should try to figure out 10, 20, 30 years down the pike.
Absolutely.
Let Cody figure that out. He'll be the only one.
I guess there's someone.
Yeah, it needs to be chartered over time because otherwise, you know, you don't want to. The more you add layers and layers of debt, the more often you're going to have to raise rates unless you're really careful with all your other expenses.
Right.
And so I think we need a good fiscal management plan. And we need to take some time and really chart that out. But as far as this project is concerned, I'm in favor of replacing the water mains because they need to be replaced. And we have two great programs, 1% interest and half forgiveness on it. It makes a lot of sense. It's going to cost us maybe around $350,000 to replace the water mains there. And that can be financed over 30 years. So that makes sense to me. But it does get scary when you look out and you say, okay, this is 10% of the system. And I think Deirdre had noted this in some of her questions. I thought they were good questions. What's going to happen the next time you do 10% of the system? And then the next time. So I think we need to plan that out. And we need to be very careful with how this is implemented over time.
Now, when pipe replacement is paired with road construction, from my point of view, I don't see how that saves money at all. I was under the impression that, okay, well, you ripped up the road, so I guess you're saving some money. But from what I can gather now from Carmela Roberts, that this is all done before the road gets torn up, they go in and dig and replace the lines. That's how she worded it in, you know, prior to the road resurfacing, the pipes will be replaced.
That's prior to the resurfacing. They're going to mill it out first, then the pipes go in, then they resurface. What I'm
saying. Well, my question then is how much does it save, really?
Well, her latest letter about the sewer main replacements and the cost for sewer main replacements, I think was like $73,000, something like that.
She
said it would be $73,000 if we did it while the road project was going on. It would cost an additional $20,000 if we had to do.
And I saw that, but I still can't understand how it would be cheaper to have the pipe replacement people to go in, dig the hole, replace the pipes, patch it all back up again, and then have the road repaved. Because that's how she worded it. You know, she said prior to the road repaving is when the pipes get replaced. So I guess for a while there I kept thinking, wow, you know, we really should jump on this because it's saving money. And then when I thought about it, I'm like, I don't think we're saving any money by...
No, it's saving
money. Well,
we're saving
quite a bit of money. First of all, we have a grant to pave the road. It's not as if we're paying completely for the road ourselves. We have a $210,000 grant to pave the road. And then while it's excavated, excuse me, that's when you do the water main, rather than if you do it at a separate time, you're going to have to, we'll have to pay ourselves to just excavate it again.
Let me answer your question in a different way. Let's say we decided not to do water main replacement at Homestead, okay? So we're doing the repaving, the excavating, and then they repave it and all. And then 5 years from now, we say, uh-oh, we better go back there. You're going to have to dig it up.
That's what I just said.
You're going to have to dig up the road that you just paved.
So aesthetically, it'll have an impact. But I don't think
Well, maybe I needed to say it twice then.
let me jump in here for a second.
Yeah, no, there's definitely
a cost. Do you have that sheet that Anna sent you today, the hardware for
Homestead? Let me say it another way.
Yeah, it's that Excel sheet on the last page. Right. Okay, so this is not the paving of the road. This is the putting the water pipes in. This was her hard cost schedule here.
Okay.
So as part of the hard cost schedule, line number 33 is pavement restoration at $72,000. So there is pavement going on in this hard cost estimate also for like $72,000, and that is a potential savings against the paving of the road proper. So how this gets juggled, I don't know. I would
no,
like to sit
down. No, because it's before the road gets paved.
Oh, no. These if she's a good engineer, it's like putting a house up. You don't get the electric service put in before you get the walls put up. So she's got to coordinate this. And I think we have to meet with her to see what coordinations will be going on. But again, look at line.
I recommend that the borough move forward as quickly as possible in replacing these water mains so that the work of the water main replacement can be performed prior to the work of the NJDOT roadway improvements. Okay, so.
You're digging it up.
What?
You're digging it up to put those in. That's part of that's part
oh,
of
oh you dig
the
it
digging.
Up and then
you dig it up then
and
they
then like immediately right then
well so they put dirty stone and sand and gravel or whatever they put in the water pipes and then they bring it all the way up to the pole patch maybe
all right.
And
so
then they mill
so
the road down
savings.
yeah there's okay. Got to be a, that's why we need to sit and talk to her because I have questions about stuff like that, you know, that extra $73,000 right there might be the sewers, you know. I don't know. So we need to sit with George and Carmella and, you know, a couple of us to kick this around and see exactly what it is.
And
know,
is it true also that this estimate of this cost, this total bond amount, $715,000, she's got to be aiming high? I mean, because the numbers just don't add up.
Always try to be accurate if you're an engineer with the cost, and you want them to be as accurate as possible. However, you want to make sure that there's enough in that bond to do this work. So if we don't get get approved for the nano program, that would be the full cost that she's estimating. It would cost us 700 and some thousand. We've gotten the nano program before. Every time we've applied for it, we've gotten it. One of the smallest municipalities in New Jersey, and they tend to approve us all the time for it. They did it for the filters at the water treatment plant, and we saved a lot of money with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done by the previous council, and so I don't. There's no reason why I can see why we wouldn't get ranked high on their list. They do a ranking kind of thing based on size, needs, a lot of different factors.
Less is more.
Yeah, and we're way up there on their ranking, so we would probably qualify for it, but you can't say definitely. So that's why I think we're looking at water main replacements first, because there's great programs out there for funding it, you know? Half cost and 1% interest. I mean, you really can't beat that. So I just really wish they did the same thing for sewer line replacement too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you never know. Future governments might do that. They might come up with money for that.
So for us to lobby the state and the feds if we can.
Yeah, they're really...
Murphy's really all about the environment, and that's his main passion, I think.
Well, and jobs, too. It creates jobs. This kind of stuff creates jobs, because engineers get work, contractors get more work because...
Laborers get work.
And we'll authorize more work because, you know, half of it's being subsidized. So it's really a work kind of program, too. It creates jobs. It keeps people busy. And so... Yeah, but it's scary. Small town, limited budget that you can't really we can't add on more houses. We're built out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You can't add a lot more revenue. I think this is the last cell phone provider out there.
Mm-hmm.
T-Mobile is probably merging with Sprint. Is that what it is or
I
something?
Think so.
Yeah, and they're going to be on the tower and. That revenue is probably between $30,000 or $40,000 a year, or something like that, which you know, which could offset this. But you're not going to get them every 3 years,
right.
Another carrier.
Right.
So, yeah, we need a long-term plan. But I thought that these were excellent questions that Deirdre had about, you know, what are we going to do moving forward? How are we going to decide what to do next? How are we going to afford it? And most of our questions, I think, were related to that, from
right.
what I could see.
No, right. No.
The one thing that previous councils and this council, no council wants to raise water sewer rates. It's horrible. Because it's so high already to begin with.
It's some of the highest rates in Jersey.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, it's terrible. For the last 3 years, I have to tell you, our finance professionals were saying you have to raise rates.
Oh, longer than
this
that.
Was,
like
this was
than
maybe
that.
Even five
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah.
They were saying every year to... whoever was on board in the council, it
yeah,
looks
was,
like
I
you're going to have to raise
I was
rates.
Finance chair.
Right, because...
They kept saying you have to raise, and I kept saying,
otherwise,
one
you're
going
to operate as a deficit. And every council, like mm-hmm. like this council, was saying, no, anything but that. You know, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that to our homeowners.
So what prevented them from raising those rates last?
Well, what prevented it was the council didn't want it.
Oh, okay.
We didn't want it.
Okay.
We kept
what
on saying, let's try to keep costs
yeah.
down
mm-hmm.
and not do that. But there does get to a point where with inflation and other expenses that come on board where you may have to raise rates because, our revenues are just about right at what our costs
right.
are.
Right.
And so it's just like if you are a homeowner and you know you need a new van for your family because you got three kids, and you go to the dealership and they say, okay, we got this van, but it's going to cost you $550 a month in payments. And you say, well, what can I do? I need it. We got three kids in car seats, and you start paying that bill, and then you say, well, either I need to get another part-time job to make up for that $550 a month, or we need to cut expenses to be able to pay that bill. And that's kind of the same situation where we're at. You know, we need this work. We need infrastructure work. And we know what it's going to cost. And either we need to cut expenses to pay for it or make more get more revenue somehow. I don't
right.
know how we're going to get more revenue, though.
Well, that's really sort of not my concern.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're going to have to do something. And rates are going to go up. Is this the best way to go about doing this? That's my overriding concern.
And that's why I say after this, maybe we should do this and then hit the pause button.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and talk
right.
to other people aside from our professional engineers and whatnot. Talk
right.
to other public works people in the area and see what they do.
But isn't that what Rich Brand concur with Carmella? That
yeah,
this is what
yeah.
to do
yeah,
now?
Yeah. Well, Rich also is able to do the sewer pipes and to look into them, and we should really talk to him about shared services. And
well, we have to talk to Janice Mironoff.
Well,
not
that is
Rich.
His suggestion
yeah.
there also.
Yeah.
So, and he would talk to her if we approached her.
Yeah, no, I'm going to call her.
Okay, and also they repair water pipes over there now, so if we could get shared services, we could probably get a great price on doing that, and they're not quite to the point that they can lay water pipes, but if they are in the next 2 or 3 years, that might coincide with us, that might work
mm-hmm.
out,
yeah.
who knows? what the future holds.
They're going out to bid for plastic, we're calling plastic pipe.
HDPE.
Yeah, HDPE right now for various diameter pipes. It'd be interesting to see, and I think Carmella is handling that.
Carmella's tied into Hightstown, and Hightstown's doing it.
It'd be interesting to see what kind of bids they get, what kind of pricing they get on that. And, you know, so that's another way of controlling costs, if you can get some decent bids on things.
So the more we can open up the outside world to us and us to the outside world, it'd probably work out.
One of the things we learned about this HDPE pipe, if you get the thicker gauge pipe,
it doesn't break.
Basically, it should last for more than 100 years.
Yeah.
It shifts when the ground shifts. It doesn't crack. It's not brittle.
Yeah.
It gives. It flexes a little bit.
Yeah.
It's about this thick.
It depends on the type you get.
Yeah.
And also, it won't shear. It won't split and stuff like that. And his suggestion about technique is a whole thing also. It's right. Like you put the dirty stone down, you tamp that, and then you put sand, and you put this pipe in the sand, and then above the sand. So it's not just about throwing money at something, it's how you do it.
Yeah.
It's so I think if we can work with them, that would be an ideal situation for us, you know. So
you
want to
do another straw poll?
I'd say we vote.
Well, what other do we have? Any other questions? Are we ready to vote on it?
Mm-hmm.
Are there other questions or other information that council members feel like they would like to have?
I would just like to put a group of people together after this, and maybe at the next meeting, I can say I would like to have. Like, you know, like they did for the firehouse thing here, like a committee of other people, not just council people, and sit down and start working on the next level. So, you know, and to have meetings open to the public and just really kick this around, especially if we put this through, you know, that we should look at the next level. We really should, you know. So, and I'm the utilities chairman, and it's on me that the bill goes up, if the water bill goes up. And believe me.
Oh, trust me, it's not on you. It's
on
everyone.
It's on me as far
everyone
as I'm concerned,
will get it equally.
We did a lot to try to keep it down, and we're actually saving money, and we're having better quality going on now. And I think, you know, I need to know that we can follow through in that vein, you know? So, yeah.
Did you want a straw poll?
Why don't you do a straw poll?
But I'm in favor of water main replacement at this time. I don't know about sewer main replacement because I haven't looked at how that would be bonded and what those costs would be.
Yeah, well, George, I mean, Carmella just let us know about that, so I contacted him right away, but he has to study it.
Yeah, but from what I see and with the loan programs that are in place, I'm worried that if we don't capitalize on them, they're not going to be there. And they're basically subsidizing half of the cost and the rest at 1% interest, so I'm in favor of it now.
Deirdre? You don't want to answer.
My opinion? Yeah, it's going to be a very hard vote. I have, still have doubts as to whether or not this is the most cost-effective way to go about doing this. It seems like a lot to pay for something that we're fixing very little part of the problem. So, but I'm in. I mean, I really stress, though, that we try to come up with a committee with maybe a really strict timeline with some alternative ideas. So that's it. And I'd love to see that happen.
I'm in favor. I think it's all laid out very well for us. We've discussed it for a very long time, trying to contemplate all these other ideas, but all these other ideas kind of end up going into rabbit holes. Everything's laid out for us. We need to start somewhere. I really like that the courts are getting done. I myself was kind of questioning about Homestead, but if all of Roosevelt has to get done, we're looking at it from top view, where can we start first? Offset it, we can do it while we're doing repavement. So it makes the most sense to get started somewhere, rather than kind of question and delay, and then by then it's going to be too far down, too late, because the entire town needs to get done. So I think it's good to get started somewhere and see an improvement somewhere, and then not have to worry about that for 100 years. So.
Oh, sure, because you're the only one who will still be here in 30 years.
Yeah. You're the only one who has an outside chance. Yeah.
Well, in 30 years, for sure.
But, yeah, I think everyone involved has been able to give their opinion, challenge each other's opinions, discuss it, and every other option kind of ends up going somewhere that no one really knows, and this is what we're sure of. We have an engineer that shows what she's doing, people worrying about the finances, everything's kind of laid out very well for us, and the public as well has reached out to other townships, what they would do. Townships agree with this as well, so I think it's a good move to get started somewhere, and then look at the long-term goals of how we want to go about the water main replacement in this town, and sewer line placements as well, because it will be a lot of money. But I think we need to start somewhere.
Thanks, Cody. Steve?
I agree with Cody.
So
I think I said all.
Move forward with the vote?
Well, Joe.
Joe just said it, yeah.
51 for, 49 against it, so I'm for it. Yeah.
Okay. I believe, what's today, October 9th, we're actually going to vote.
Should we do a public hearing?
We just did it.
Did you?
Yeah.
What time was that?
7:14 to 7:15.
7:15. Michael Tickton was the only one.
Oh, I heard him. Okay.
Okay, so we will be. Would someone like to move bond ordinance 18-06?
I'll move 18-06.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
OT. 18-06 passes. Come to paper clip off. Ordinance 18-07, second reading. This is amending Chapter 7, Vehicle and Traffic, Section 7-14, Stop Intersections of the Roosevelt Borough Code Book. And this ordinance is adding a new stop sign at the intersection of Homestead Lane and North Valley Road, which has been there for a few weeks, but this is the official amendment.
I'll motion it.
No, we have to have a public hearing.
Oh, okay. Open the public hearing at 8:06. Would anyone like to, or has anything to say about the stop sign? And we close. No, the stop sign at the triangle. And we close the public hearing at 8:06.
Replace the yield with a stop, you know, so, yeah.
Well, who had the idea, Mike? Someone had the idea of moving the yield sign to the opposite end of the triangle, which is an excellent idea, yeah. We'll have Public Works do that. That was an excellent suggestion.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, got that, Steve.
So roll call?
Did somebody move it first?
Yeah.
Oh, Cody moved it.
I'll second that. Okay.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
18-07 passes. Come to resolutions. Resolution 18-125, payment of bills for October 19th. October 9th. I can't get one sentence straight tonight. October 9th, 2018.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
You got that?
Yeah, I got it.
I'll second that.
Okay, so Mr. Hamilton was first and Mr. Trammell was second.
Mm-hmm. Discussion?
Okay.
There being none, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 18-126, authorizing a refund of fees paid for sewer main videotaping at 23 North Rochdale.
I'll move that.
Second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan? And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 18-127, awarding a contract for periodic maintenance and repair of the borough's emergency standby generators.
I'd like to move 18-127.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
All I can say is Hightstown has used these guys for 15 years. I like the folks that we were using before, but I like that these are closer and that Hightstown likes them also.
Okay.
Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
18-128, awarding a contract for iron sludge removal in the aerator and settling tanks at the water plant.
I'd like to move that also, 18-128. It hasn't been done for 5 years or so. It should be done every year.
I'll second that.
Okay.
I think that should make a big difference in water quality,
That'll be a start, part of a start.
The water has been better.
It's like mud. They took a sample, it's like mud.
Listen, how long do you live here?
Long enough to know that my bathtub is as dark as
I know what comes out of that faucet. So, I know what that water was like.
That's it. Let's fix it, right?
Okay.
So I move that. Mike seconded it.
Right. Okay. Roll call. Okay.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I'd like to offer 18-129, authorizing the solicitation of bids for the lease of real property, i.e. water tower space, for the replacement of wireless communications equipment at that address, 35 North Valley Road, Roosevelt, New Jersey.
I'll second that, and I think we should get as much as possible to help feed our water sewer budget from there. We should
Get a year in advance.
Be nice also,
So that's how a lease works.
It's like a security deposit.
Exactly, right. First and last month's rent, Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 18-130, authorizing a fair and open process and issuance of a request for proposals for real property data collection and verification services in accordance with Monmouth County's real property assessment demonstration.
On a question there, I think I understand this to be the pilot program that started 2 or 3 years ago in Monmouth County. And
it started out of Gloucester County, I believe.
On Gloucester, okay, down south.
It was the original.
Yeah. Public?
You can, Mike, go ahead, it's okay.
This is the process that started in Monmouth about the time that I retired as assessor. So it was right about 2010, 2011 started.
Okay.
And it was the first, the Gloucester County, Gloucester County, they have county administrator, the county, what's being done on a county level. The Monmouth one emphasizes strengthening the municipal assessment offices and providing them with additional services. And they're getting the assessment is done every year, where the data is collected on a five-year rotating basis, and the assessor uses this data to update the assessments every year. And this is, and that the important thing in Monmouth has been that they changed the schedule so that that all of the appeals are done before the final budgets are finalized, so you don't have towns being stuck with holes anymore.
So this is like a valuation of towns and counties and things like
this
that?
This is the town. The town is contracting for part for the service for this for the inspections to be done by a contractor comes and does this and then gives this information to the assessor, who then uses it to develop the valuations for the year.
Okay.
That's been going on.
It's like a valuation census.
Yeah, right. But instead of having periodic revaluations, they now in Monmouth County reassess every year using the constantly there's constantly new data coming in, which is used to reassess every year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Do I have a motion?
A motion?
We didn't have one yet.
Cody?
Second?
I'll second.
I hate the second attack. So
roll, roll call.
It's not ink. It's just
I know,
20%
I know.
That they have to do. Okay, letter, Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Word.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 18-131, appointing a crossing guard, and that crossing guard will be Danielle Hubiak.
I'll move 18-131.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yeah.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
In case anyone's curious, Danielle was a Prashaki before she was Hubiak. A Prashaki. I mean, she was.
Well, that was her name.
Yeah, she was born in. She's been here her whole life, so a lot of people know her
really?
Family.
She's in Eitan's old house, I think?
No. That's a different crossing guard.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay.
18-132, authorizing an agreement with Monmouth County Board of Chosen Freeholders to provide special citizen area transportation service, the SCAT bus.
I'll move 18-132.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Park?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yeah.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I'd like to offer Resolution 18-133, approval to submit a grant application and execute a grant contract with the New Jersey Department of Transportation for improvements to Farm Lane project.
On a question? This is just to have Carmella write it up and submit the application.
Right.
Just submit the
application. I'll second that. Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Okay, and then we got that resolution that is new, 18-134.
Does everyone have a copy?
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. The gas station.
Yeah. Which part should
you
read?
Does the audience
you
have a copy?
You have to read the whole thing because it
okay.
wasn't part of the agenda. Okay.
So this is Resolution 18-134. Resolution awarding a contract for demolition of the gas station building, excluding the slab. Whereas the Borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, the Borough, has a need to retain the services of a qualified contractor for demolition of the gas station building, excluding the slab, and whereas the Borough has solicited quotes from contractors to perform the demolition of the gas station building as follows. First quote was from Diggett Excavation for $10,000. And the second quote is from CTC Demolition Company for $4,200. And whereas the borough CFO, George Lang, has certified that funds were available to award the contract, now therefore be it resolved that the governing body of the Borough of Roosevelt hereby awards a contract in the amount of $10,000 to Diggett Excavation for demolition of the gas station building, excluding the slab, and removal from site, and be it further resolved that a certified copy of this resolution be sent to the Chief Financial Officer, Purchasing Agent, Public Works, and Diggett Excavation.
So, we have to do a motion.
I'd like to offer 18-134, resolution awarding contract for demolition of the gas station building.
I'll second that.
Not including the slab.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, just so you know, the CFO did send the certification. It's on my phone. I didn't get it
until late.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add to the public record that the borough has owned that building for 18 years.
Yeah.
18 years. and it's coming down. And I'd just like to congratulate the council and say that I'm really happy about that, yeah, because it was such an eyesore. We did our best to try to get somebody to buy the building and make it into a rateable as it exists, but we didn't really have any progress on that. So I think it's a great thing that we're moving ahead.
We've owned it for 18 years, but it's been abandoned for like 30 or more. So it's about that, as I thought. Yeah. 30.
Since Frenchie used to have it, that was the last.
No, no. Roy Terry had it after him, and then the Girlings had it. And
about people, how soon will they do it?
Tomorrow, I hope.
No.
No, just kidding.
People might get disoriented and not know they're in Roosevelt when they're coming into
town.
Well,
it's a landmark. It's a landmark. No, I always, anyone coming to town that's never been to my house or never been to Roosevelt, I say, well, as soon as you come to the abandoned gas station on the right.
So the slab is just going to remain there?
Yeah.
We could remove the slab.
Environmentally,
we don't need any.
Sound, no, environmentally,
it would be okay to do
okay.
It, but you need to get DEP approvals for that.
Oh, okay.
Many more permits, and each of those permits costs money.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. So it goes back.
We could still do it at some future.
Yeah, if we wanted to.
Date too, mm-hmm. So you know.
Put a tennis court there.
Yeah. That would do well, probably.
Squash, hey, you know, yeah. Put a big wall up. Boom, boom, boom.
Okay. Okay. So I'm just going to announce that I appointed Sam Ashburner. He's been in town about a year and a half, and he's very interested in the environment and our woodland trail, and he was very interested in being on the Environmental Commission. So he has been appointed to as an alternate on the Environmental Commission.
An alternate one or two?
No, I think two, because his term will go through 2019.
You have it here if you want to read it.
Okay, no, it's all right.
Yeah, yeah. Ended in a couple of months. Do you want me to read this?
What's his name?
Ashburner.
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 Yeah, Burner.
Ash.
He lives next door to Helen Barth. Okay. So that should clear it up. All right, does anyone want me to read this? The appointment? Okay, so we come to reports of committees. Community Development Code Enforcement, Council Member Parker.
I have no report. Again, crazy 2 weeks. Sorry, Ken. I have no report for that.
Okay. Environmental Health and Safety, Council Member Sheehan.
Don't have anything to report this week.
Finance, Council Member Hamilton.
The finance report's going to be minimal. We did manage to approve demolition of the gas station. We went out for 3 quotes. We received 2 and awarded it for the $10,000 quote for just building removal. We're continuing to move ahead with what essentially, in a lot of ways, is drainage improvements to the Borough Hall area. As people know, we replaced part of the roof on this building and the gutters on Borough Hall. We have a new roof and gutters, and we'll have new gutters on the Public Works building. That should help out with drainage. One of the things that we still need to address is drainage issues that are very noticeable in the back corner of Borough Hall, related to the Homestead Lane storm drain and the sewage pumping station that's here. There's a very depressed area. It's not draining properly from Homestead Lane. That's a lift station, and Carmella is recommending that if we're going to do repaving of the Borough Hall area, which we want to do, it might make sense to do what she wants us to do, which is to put in a new lift station and to run a new drainage line,
right,
kind of through the parking
through
lot
the parking
area,
yeah.
Yeah, and then drain it out.
Yeah. Out to the where it's supposed to drain to.
Here's the problem with it.
Yeah.
The lift station, that's a very expensive project.
Mike has looked at, Mike Lyon, yeah, sewer man, has looked at the lift station and said, don't worry about it. It's fine now. There are 2 pumps in there. Both of them are working. He says it's not necessary to replace.
So we're just talking about
the drainage.
Like
bring a backhoe in and make a line going out to the street there. Also, if you notice, when you're looking at the garage doors at the ambulance bay, to the left down to the building foundation, there's starting to be a large hole there.
Okay.
And I'm sure that's part of this drainage problem that we got.
Yeah.
And it's like there's a swamp back here, and it goes through the parking lot, so in the winter it freezes over. So there is a necessity to deal with the drainage here to keep the buildings in shape. I'm sure we got a great sinkhole under this building now.
Yeah. Now, we're looking at the paving of the borough parking area and also the driveway in front of the first aid squad bays there, too. And one of the things that we talked to Anna, who's our finance person in-house, is about tacking on that as a, like an addendum or a separate bid or quote for to get that done when she go out when we go out to bid for the Homestead Lane repaving.
Great idea.
Give somebody an incentive to come in and give us a much better price on it. We think we might be able to save some money on
here.
That.
Equipment will be here.
Equipment's going to be here.
We've done that before. Yeah. It's worked. Yeah, it worked
it's
well.
The way that, yeah.
So we think we're hoping we'll get a decent price on that and be able to repave the whole borough hall area. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Greg Defoe. He's working on other drainage kind of related issues behind the existing public works building and may need to do some more trenching.
Well, Carmela drew that up where it would come from behind public works into a trench that goes, meets this stuff and back over here and takes it all the way out to the street. So she's already more or less drawn that up as part of her plan, and it's a decent plan.
So again, we're moving ahead with doing the repairs that needed to be done for quite some time. Building maintenance kind of issues, and also the crumbling driveway in front of Borough Hall here, which is problematic. So hopefully we'll be able to get that done as part of the Homestead Lane project too, and that would be great. End of report.
Public Works, Councilmember Bowen.
Dave Curtis reported that he's been working on the chemical building over at the sewer plant. He pressure washed it and bleached it, and now he's fixing and replacing the rotted wood in prep for painting. Mm-hmm. Greg Pasile reported that all fire extinguishers have had their annual service by the contractor. Mm-hmm. Greg Defoe reports that half of Borough Hall is now painted. Mm-hmm. So that project is ongoing. The landscaping contractor selected for the front of Borough Hall. He's meeting with the contractor tomorrow to finalize that project. We have received quotes for the borough sign out front, and there should be a decision by next week. Garage roof is completed. Gutters are next. Building damage is to be repaired the last half of October. And that's it.
Could you just repeat that last item?
Building damage.
Building
down
to the public works building?
Yep.
Thanks, Steve. And utilities. Councilmember Trammell.
Okay, yeah, I've pretty much said most of what I had to say. Richard Brand, I thanked him personally about what they did, and I'd really encourage us to look into a shared service agreement with East Windsor. I would love for them to come and jet and televise all of the sewers in town and possibly use this stuff called Route X to kill some of the roots that exist in the system now, and that would buy us maybe a year to get rid of some of the rooted instead of tearing the street up. Also, they repair water pipes over there, so if we do a shared service with them and we have a problem of breaking a pipe, maybe they can come and do that with us. The water plant sludge removal should be happening soon. And over at the, there's too many things to list about what John Holden and Mike Lyons are doing to the water plant and the sewer plant. They are proactive about fixing things and making things happen. One of the larger things that needs to happen at the water, at the sewer plant now, is that the number one tank that, what do they call it, where the arms go around, squirt water out, trickling filter tanks, and this has been going on for quite a while. One of them is seizing. It's not turning, and they can get in there and push it backwards a little bit now and get it to spin again, but we're going to have to get a crane in there, lift it out, put new bearings in and stuff like that. Carmela has been apprised of it. She sent an engineer down, Mike, and the engineer looked at it this morning or yesterday morning. So that will be a cost, and that is part of the integral working of the plant, so that's got to happen. All the little things that they're doing are outstanding. Like I said, I can't even list them. The plug in the chemical building, they put a high-pressure hose in there and cleared the... there was a chlorine line that was plugged going out to the final settling tank, and they pulled that through with a new line, and now that's working. Every month or two, Pumping Services comes out and cleans the sludge out of the bottom of the final chlorine settling tank. And Mike is saying, why do we do that? I'll just get a little sludge, a little sump pump, and put it in there. And instead of paying somebody every month or two to clear the sludge out, he just pumps it himself into the... So these guys are very proactive, and I know we're going to have the savings. I don't know how much it's going to be, but I enjoy watching people who enjoy what their work is, and they're doing it. I'm just happy that we have these people doing their thing now.
I just want to make a comment on,
yeah,
on the televised...
Did you look at it?
what really got me, well, it's great that we got it done for free through East Windsor.
Yeah.
But the quotes for to have that done, there was one that was for $9,000 for a three-hour job.
And that's why I think we need shared service with somebody. And these guys, if you went and watched them in the truck, and they know, all of these guys know each other, by the way, so... To watch them in the truck actually driving the little robot through the sewer lines and stopping every so often, clicking a button and taking a picture of it to go along with the video. But in the picture, I mean, all the details are there. You know, they enjoy their work and they kick butt. And I'm just like, I love it when I see people liking what they do and giving us results that are meaningful to us. This is the real deal. This is the
one. One of the things that I'm glad that we get, I know council members get it. I don't know if it's available to the public, but I think it should be, is we get a monthly report from John Holden on water quality, and it shows every day the pH, the residual chlorine. And one of the things that I've noticed, the tolerances are very, very tight. It doesn't vary much. He's keeping it right on target just about every day. You don't see the kind of variations that we used to see before.
The one thing he said in one of his last reports was, I have gradually reduced the use of chlorine in the system.
Yeah.
I've gotten no complaints from anybody about too much chlorine, and I've gotten no complaints that there's any problem with the water. So whereas we used to have, and the DEP brought this to our attention, that we had a lot of chlorine coming out of the system.
Well, and we have measurements for residual chlorine, which is the amount of chlorine that comes through the tap on the other end that isn't used.
He's been tweaking.
Yeah.
Now, this might be part of the problem at the sewer plant where, with the trickling filters, they're supposed to be all green. Okay, they're supposed to have algae in there to eat the bacteria.
Yeah.
They're not green, but if there's too much chlorine in the water, it's going to kill the algae.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it becomes a balancing act between these two guys, and they're going for it. So I enjoy watching stuff like that happen. You know.
But we have real data to show that the water quality is excellent, the pH is right where it should be, it's not varying much at all. So these guys are really hands-on. And they're also providing us with feedback and reports on a regular basis for everything that they do. So I'm really happy to see that, too.
So it's kind of good to go to the next level of the infrastructure, at least this one step, and then we should really look at it because it took a long time just to get the sewer and the water plants to get. They've been here since July, and that's still coming along. So we should ease into the rest of this. You know, so, yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Michael, do you have anything you need? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. On behalf of Michael Tixon, Environmental Commission Chairman. Okay. On behalf of the Environmental Commission. One, we had several recommendations. I had sent an email, which was circulated, that included them, but to summarize, the first one was what the council has, in fact, done now with the gas station, we endorsed the idea of removing it, but keeping the slab so that we don't jeopardize the environmental approvals that we gotten. And that's what the council's done.
Yeah, apparently that wasn't an issue at all, according to Carmella. It was only strictly all the additional permits we would need that were expensive. But she didn't see any negativity to remove.
Okay, because we've been told before that the approval that we got was conditioned on not removing the covering, but keeping it sealed.
That's what I thought.
That's what we were told.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what we were always told. Okay. But that's what's being done, okay, which is good. The another thing, Kim Phelong had gone to a conference where she got this information about green site standards, and I sent that in to be distributed to everybody. You might want to think about the application of that, because one of the things is to look where possible to do permeable surfacing rather than impermeable surfacing, so the water doesn't run off, it'll go into the ground. And in the parking lot, that would be a place where impermeable surfacing could be used, because it's not, you don't want it someplace where there are going to be heavy trucks running over it and damaging it, but for to have
that
car
would
parking,
be a,
it's,
would be
it would
a
be.
Thing in terms
yeah.
Of
you might want to discuss, when you discuss it, you know, discuss that with her as an option. And we did set, and if anyone doesn't have it or she needs a green, you know, but you, I believe, Kathleen, I believe you should have that on what I had sent out in the email. So anybody needs the green standards to look at it, that's something we recommend. And the other question that we had was, what is happening with that monarch butterfly garden area? Because all the milkweed had been ripped out. Most of the milkweed had been ripped out by the contractors.
From our landscaping company.
Yeah, right.
At this point, Mike, we don't know because it may become part of the parking lot when
right.
we repaint.
That's what we said. We didn't want. Steve Taylor has a lot of milkweed, but he didn't want to replant it until we knew if it was going to be used.
Truthfully, it
might come up from root because it's about the time of year that it goes dormant. My milkweeds are starting to go dormant.
Okay,
now.
But we didn't want to plant. He didn't want to plant more of it unless we knew that it was going to be a milkweed garden. If not, you know, he doesn't want to waste his time doing that. Okay, very good. I'll let him know that we don't know at this point, so don't do it yet. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the information we wanted to give you. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Great.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right. Does anyone have any old business they would like to discuss at the table?
My pipes are old. Never
mind. Okay. New business.
Who am I? I know.
Okay, the Environmental Commission Forest Management Trails Committee will host a trail cleanup / maintenance day on Saturday, November 10th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and the rain date will be next day, Sunday, November 11th. Okay, so I'm assuming anyone who wants to join to do so. And we'll also have our annual rabies clinic, November 27th from 6 to 7 at the Borough Hall. So if anyone has any cats or dogs they need vaccinated, come then. And we come to public comment.
Before we get to public comment, can I ask the council a question here?
Sure.
We talked about possibly looking at and maybe discussing bonding for sewer main replacement along with the road project that we're doing and the water main project that we're doing. Does the council want to look at that issue a little more closely? Do you want us to explore bonding for that? Should it come to that? Because I think we're going to work with a tight timeline
I personally think that we should, Finance Committee, Utilities Committee, Public Works Committee, sit with Carmella and George Lang.
Okay.
And just look at what is now and, you know.
So let's get the committees sparked up and looking
well,
at
well this.
Well,
this is not all three committees, but the three of us,
right.
Finance, Utilities, and Public Works, so we can get a good understanding of what's. And there might be other alternatives for the sewer. You know, they could be, relined, they could be cleaned out. A lot of things can happen there without disturbing the street, because you can go in through the manhole covers for that.
Okay,
so
let's look at
that.
We
should also talk to Richard about that. He understands what that's about. You know, let alone any collapse of the pipe itself, there are ways of dealing with it.
Okay.
Again, the Route X for the roots, it's good for a year or two at a time. And if nothing has collapsed, they could go in and spray the inside, or they could put a liner on the inside.
Homestead,
yeah. Because that's the sewer line that they did for free, and we could see. Did you see the?
It's 95%.
Yeah, but if you look at the video, you'll see that.
I mean, that's just, yeah. Those are Carmela's, that's her figure, 95%.
Yeah.
Clogged with roots and.
Yeah, but like you said, that chemical stuff you put in there.
Well, that's what it was, yes. And the roots, it burns the roots. But it's good for a year at a time, it's safe for the environment and stuff like that. I've got the chip with the sewer line on it. I didn't have any.
I'm too busy for movies.
I looked a lot of it, it's like, you know. But there are other ways to deal with it. Again, talking with. Richard, I think we should involve him and stuff like that. That's what I really think we need to do. You know, yeah.
It's definitely going to cost more than $73,000. Just because it's like the material cost for a sewer replacement.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
that's a hard
material,
cost.
Yeah.
That's just probably another 20 or 30 for hard or soft cost on top of that. So I'd say we look into alternatives for that as opposed to rebonding and stuff.
I think you should also ask Carmela what the final total would be, because Cody has a point.
So yeah, this is hard.
But
cost.
Do we know? Is it 10 more, 20 more? 30, you
probably
know,
20,
so just we have a
more,
so you have a number.
Probably yeah. Pops over 100, you know. So
not as much as water mains, though.
The water mains, yeah, completely different. Yeah. Okay.
All right, we come to public comment at 8:40 p.m. Would anyone, Mike?
Okay, Michael Tickton, still at 37 North Valley Road. I've been trying to get Jersey Central to fix the streetlights that are out at the corner of Eleanor Lane and North Valley and at the corner of Oscar Drive and North Valley, and I called them about a week ago. They said it might take 2 or 3 days. They're still out, so I was thinking it might be helpful if the borough. Now, we have Jerry Riccardi, who is the.
No, he retired.
He's not the. Do we have a new liaison?
Jim Markey.
Okay, if we have a liaison, we might want to talk to the liaison.
Yeah,
because they don't seem to be moving too quickly on that, and I think it's important to get the street lights working.
He's a very nice fellow. He came here at the last meeting and introduced himself.
Well, I told Jerry he had to give us someone as nice as he was.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
I don't know how you got him, but he was.
See if
it
got us trees also.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you repeat those? Oscar Drive.
Oscar.
The one at the corner of Oscar and North Valley, and the one at the corner of Eleanor and North Valley.
Right. Also on the notion of power lines.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
anybody sees power lines with you know how the poison ivy grows on everything around here. If you see stuff growing up the power lines. Could you look at the pole itself, get the number of the pole, and that way we
can report it to them because they go by the numbers, yes.
And they go by the numbers, and they will come and deal with stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it has to be reported.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
yeah,
if anybody, this could be in the bulletin or whatever on the website, that if you see a pole with growing, then and that happened at Shorted out a transformer at the sewer plant once.
I just want to add another thought that by doing the bonding and by, you know, doing one section at a time, you know, and in fact perhaps taking 30 years till you get to all of them, you're basically sharing the costs with all the people who are going to come later.
Our kids' kids.
Yeah, we had
whatever,
said that.
Whoever,
yeah.
That's not your kids' kid, but whoever's going to own these houses
who's
later.
Been here for
and
a year
also,
who's
that
living.
The people who are coming later because of inflation and everything else, the impact of all this is probably going to be less in the future. So. It's better to do that than to risk the, you know, to not do the work and then, you know, have
the
town deteriorate because
the
it doesn't
make
you can't not maintain the infrastructure.
Okay.
We whatever, it, and we can always just hope that with a new maybe in a couple of years there'll be a new administration. Maybe that we will see a new WPA because we're talking about infrastructure. Trump claimed he was going to do something about infrastructure because he has, but everybody knows we have the infrastructure in this country is in terrible shape, and you know hopefully there will be a serious WPA-type infrastructure for them, and we can and like everybody else, we can benefit from it, too, because this is not a local problem. This is a national problem. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else like to speak? Mark?
Mark Connors, Roosevelt First Aid. We would like to ask, depending on what, and we know you don't have any set lock plans, but since you're fixing the garage over there and putting a nice roof on it, once that gets done and repaired, if we could get the third bay, because we'd like to make a training and operational room out of it. Mm-hmm. So if all that gets fixed, then we can move the stuff that's in there now, because you guys did a great job cleaning it out, but now stuff's coming back in. If we get that room, we'd fix it. It would also basically give you another meeting room if you had to have a special quiet meeting somewhere. But basically what we need it for is training and for operations and to have some place that we can work out of. Because as you know, over here, we don't have So if you just put that in your heads, see if we could do that. We'd like to try to do that sooner than later. We'd like to try to get it set up. Since we don't have a fire department, since we, you know, winter's coming and storms happen. We'd like to try to do it as soon as we can. So if you can, whenever you're able to move stuff, if we could get permission to use that, that's what we'd like to do.
What else? What got moved in there? Do you know?
They're contained. I think it's from the summer program, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Summer school.
I think. Yeah,
summer camp.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we could find storage space for that and get that out of there right away.
We could fix it up, make it so we can operate out of it, and clean it up.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Anyone else? Mr. Clark. Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Come on.
Please. Matthew Margotta, 17 Pine Drive. I don't know if this is really appropriate.
Hold on, Matthew. You're going to have to spell your name, please.
MARGOTTA.
How long do you live here?
Yeah, so I just wanted to introduce myself. I moved here in July along with my wife, Allison, and we had our first child, a daughter, in August.
Aww.
So she's 7 weeks old, Isabella. We used to be, it was Gillipati and Brad
Barton's
house.
Oh, you're in Gillipati's house. Yeah. Well, I was trying to just do a mental calculation of where 17 was.
But we really love living here so far. You know, I'm really happy to be like a homeowner now, and, you know, I've always really wanted to get more involved in politics, so I'm kind of happy to be at my first council meeting, and I feel kind of honored that I know this water issue has been going on for a while. I've seen a lot of stuff in the post office, but you know, there was a vote today. I feel kind of honored. I saw somewhat of a finale, but
and the gas station demolition resolution, which is
And just I mean, like from what I've heard on the water, I mean, you know, because my wife and I were looking at a lot of houses, and we were looking at something like, you know, we wanted to live somewhere kind of quiet and off the beaten trail, and we found a lot of places like that, but pretty much all of them had like septic tanks or well water and stuff, and basically we didn't choose any of those because we were worried about the water quality. So I mean, I think I agree with what Mayor Malkin said and what others said, is that, I mean, I paid my first $372 bill last week, so I mean, I feel that pain too, but I do think the water quality is the most paramount concern. So, and that being said, I know there was talks about, I don't know if you meant, I don't know how anything works here, so I mean, like a committee getting started, I don't know if you meant within the council or not, but I mean, I would really love to get involved, and I would love to help.
Leave us your cell, your name and your cell.
All right, awesome.
Yeah, give me your phone number, I'll give you my phone.
All right, great. So it's been great to meet everyone.
Oh,
my name is
really
Matthew again. If you
meet
see, so on Pine Drive, if you see my wife, she'll be with the stroller, and we have a little Chihuahua, mixed French Bulldog.
Yeah,
might have seen her. So she's Allison.
Pretty
soon,
everyone will know you, and you'll know. And people will. You have to tell people I live in the Lapote house because that's. Yeah.
And I looked at the agenda and today and. My wife's waiting for me to get back for dinner, and I was like, I think it should be quick, but I, you know, I don't really have any idea. So she's waiting for me back there. But
this is actually quick. This is really quick.
All right. Well, now I know what I'm getting into. But
I'll tell you one thing that's really going to date me. But, you know, you almost choked when you saw your bill. When I moved here, it was $9 a month, and that was really high because my girlfriend, my best friend, bought a house at the same exact time in Philadelphia, and her water bill was $18 a year.
Yeah.
Wow. And we were paying $9 a month. So, I mean, it's always been, we have our own water system to maintain. So.
But, I mean, personally, as a new person, I mean, it's still kind of, I mean, it's hard, but it's I mean, for where I love living here so far, and, I mean,
I think almost it, everyone in this room has been here a really long time. We all love it.
Yeah, so, I mean...
I'm only six.
No, he's the newest. Yeah. But
as a new person here, I mean, it's a hard pill to swallow, but, I mean, for me, it's 100% worth it. So.
Oh, we're really glad to hear
and
that.
And it's been great to meet everyone, and I'll
be
back.
You.
So.
Give us your number.
All right, well, thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? Mr. Klein? Not on Pine?
Hi, everybody. Jeff Klein, 21 Homestead. Can I just ask a few questions? Just it's not to sway or anything, but just for my own curiosity. Did you guys vote while I was daydreaming over there?
Yes.
Was it approved?
Yes.
Everything's approved, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought
see,
I wasn't
sure if it was
a strong.
We're so dynamic
it was so
that
fast.
People zone out. And
well,
you
fast,
took the straw poll
in tonight, but it was ongoing since June.
It was like you took the straw poll and then
and then we
turned
voted.
Around and turned back, and then you were talking about the stop sign.
In the blink of an eye.
Did they vote?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Okay. Well, good job, everybody. That was very fascinating to watch the last bunch of time. So, okay, so I can't say anything anyways. Just for curiosity, though, so I understand what's going to happen in the future, as Deirdre was asking before. You can be succinct. I don't want to drag this out. I just have a few questions. The first question, I'm assuming that it's for state requirements, but the water seems way higher than the sewer. Is that just from requirements of pipes and
what
stuff?
What do you mean? The
well, I saw the 73,000, and you're talking about 730,000. Why is it 10 times more?
That's why I'd like to sit down and talk to Carmella and financial.
Yes, we just got that figure.
Okay, no,
we just got that letter, so
right,
we don't really know.
I
think it came in today.
I'm assuming it's they know what they're doing. I just was
just
curious if it's
today,
like state requirements.
None of us know that
permits.
Much.
Okay,
yeah.
Or the pipe has to be different.
The courts are kind of expensive because we're redoing the system. We're looping it.
Okay.
We're really revamping the system on the courts.
Well, the courts are already looped, but they're going to be looped instead of 1.5-inch copper.
Yeah.
But it's really, at this point, it's not specifically known why it's that much more. Okay. I know that only a portion of it, I'm assuming, what happens, curiosity, if the piper is good?
If the
pipes are good.
The water pipes, you mean.
Yeah, what if you dig a homestead and the pipes
then
are good?
Then we know.
But are they still going to be all replaced if they're good?
If they're good, then we know.
Yeah.
You know.
But I'm talking about the money will be in already, so you already have it's already approved.
That's just for Homestead.
If you I understand.
Yeah,
but if you dig up Homestead and the pipes are pristine,
not
I'm not saying no, but that's not what I'm asking. No, but I'm just asking
what if
they are is really my question. I understand they probably won't be.
Jeff.
But
then at some point,
what happens at that point?
To me, at some point, we go to another spot like Rochdale here after we can dig on Rochdale. And look at the ones across the street here. Look at the ones near the creek down there.
So it wouldn't be necessarily be replaced per se if they're pristine. If they're good, it wouldn't be replaced.
No, if you're going to dig them up, you're going to replace them.
Because they're 82
in great
years
shape.
I can't imagine
old.
That they're pristine after
that's not
82
that wasn't
years.
My question, though. The
yeah,
question
yeah,
is
I know your question.
Well,
right, what happens?
I would just do what is planned for Homestead there, and then maybe look at another spot on Tamara or something like that, or Farm, and... You know, when something...
But
well,
you said it would
I
be,
mean,
said
really
if it's proceeded, it would be replaced.
Yeah, I think we'd have to ask Carmella.
But let me say this. What we have not done is taken a piece of the pipe when we have a water main break.
Yeah.
We have not saved a section of the pipe.
To take a look, which is in a different area, I'm just suggesting, than Homestead.
Right, right. But
Homestead
what I
pipes.
Did do, I did see the one across the street on Rochdale here, and it was like somebody...
No, I understand. What I'm saying is there's two different locations. I was just curious what happens if you dig. Because that's the only way to really tell. You dig it up and you look at it and you go, oh, these are great. Then you'll just replace everything still.
I don't know.
Okay, that's all I'm asking.
Yeah, we'd have to
ask
Carmella.
Yeah, it's peeling the onion back. We don't know what the onion looks like until we peel it.
Curiosity, how many breaks are a year?
I think we've had about one
two
a year since
no,
I've been
I think
here.
About two a year.
Two a
I
year?
Think, because I signed the bills, I think I've only seen
well, last
Rochdale,
year we had
Rochdale, Tamara.
Pine.
Going back. I mean, this is going back a ways.
But last year we had two.
Not on Homestead, though.
No, we had
so
one on Tamara and Pine, and we had one on Rochdale.
So out of curiosity, then, a new this is for the Homestead Lane area.
Mm-hmm.
So if Homestead Lane will then be replaced at that point, but then the next time it will be replaced could be years later. There could be a brand new council. More than likely, there will be a brand new council.
Right.
So then
please.
The process begins anew,
right.
All over again, with no preset plan of whether or not
This is why I want to sit down and make a plan.
Yeah, well, you can't.
No, you can't fit into the future. Right.
I mean,
so
they can do it or
not. All we're really doing right now is replacing this one area of water pipe. That's really.
Then we're going to have a committee, hopefully, with the engineer also, and sit down and look into creating a long-term.
But it will still,
year plan.
Which could that rely on future councils or
gone,
not. Or
if we're all gone, another council is here, and Carmela is still the engineer, or they will be on file in the office here. This is the long term.
But it might
plan.
Not force the council to do it, the new councils
no,
to
no,
do
it's
it.
Up to the council.
It will still be open to debate as each time it moves.
Still going to be a democracy, hopefully. You know.
Well, not so much that as well, it just seems it's just. If you replace Homestead, for example, and it's repaired.
Right.
And there's no breaks on Homestead, then you still have the same two breaks or one break a year. So you're still paying for the same breaks at the same time that you were doing. I'm not saying
that's
why
it was 50-50,
man. I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just trying to get an idea.
Because there's no perfect solution
to any
of this.
I'm misunderstanding. I'm just trying to get an idea of what actually is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening is it could still be the same exact
problems
scenario that we have.
Could be.
With no with now money spent on the new pipes.
Yep.
There could be breaks on Homestead tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying historically there hasn't been though.
Right. So you're
I'm
right
just
there.
Going by since we're going by the history of where the breaks are.
So but hopefully we can do a shared service agreement and pay.
So I don't know what that is.
We don't have to put out a bid for people to come in and fix a broken pipe. If we have a shared service agreement, we get it basically for cost from another town.
Okay.
And then if we can have that, then they can come here and fix the pipe instead of for $10,000-$15,000 for hopefully $5,000-$7,000.
Okay.
You know, so we could have a plan to have it cheaper to fix pipes if we do have breaks. Meantime, we're going to figure out how to replace all the pipes, you know, if need be.
Okay.
And that's your question. If we don't need, then, you know.
Right. And the last thing is, can we just call the town Margaritaville and get a corporate sponsor and just change everything and maybe they'll pay us $1 million a year and we can.
No, I was reading that
Exxon Margaritaville.
Did Brother of Buffett here?
No, I was reading that just one.
Exxon, I was thinking Exxon, a corporate sponsor. Just Margaritaville.
Didn't you read? I read that just one Kardashian has over like $750 million and she's like 20 years old. And
I still don't know what they do.
I was thinking, I don't even know the
Kardashian
film, but I thought we could, you know, maybe appeal to her.
Her good nature.
I don't know about
that. Because what I read that was actually hysterical was that somebody started a GoFundMe for her so that she could reach the billion, because she's not quite there yet, and she's 20 years old. So I was thinking, I wonder if I could write to her and just tell her like how appreciative we would be.
$1 million.
Hmm? An honorary. Yeah, we'll give her the key to
we'll
the town.
Give her a proclamation. Just
exactly. Exactly.
But so the only part that concerns me really is the part of the costs are going to overlap. Obviously, I mean they are going to overlap.
But
there's
that's
no way
anything
to avoid it.
I mean, no matter
you put in
you
new pipe.
Fix one thing in your car, and the next week something else breaks, and just nothing you can do.
What overlap are you talking about?
The pipes are still going to break on
yeah.
every 3 years.
If there's no pipes.
Probably,
Yeah, so we're really just, it's just catch up over the years and without
right.
telling you if
well,
you're going to catch up.
Well, hopefully over time, as you replace them, there's less and less water pipes
that
over.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think the term for what we're
off.
Trying to do is preventive maintenance.
No, I understand. So I know. I'm not disputing it at all. It's already voted, so it doesn't. But just thinking of where
well
they
that that option is on the table. I mean, to address these problem areas. I mean, whether
it could be part of
the on the table
area.
To figure out whether that should
where
next.
To go next.
Might be.
Yep.
And
see.
And is 571 right through Roosevelt? That's county road, right? That's county right through. So to do that area, you would have to wait for county approval.
Two or 3 years, we have to wait
on repaving, right?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have something to do with when we can get a grant already. It just depends on when county will decide that from a corner up on South Rochdale down to Nerco Road, that whole stretch.
It only goes to across the street here. It doesn't go to Nerco. There's no, the water doesn't go beyond this. The water on Oscar comes directly from the plant. You guys got the best
water. Oh, so the Nerco water doesn't
Direct there is no Nerco water.
Oh, you're right.
So it just goes
right.
to
just
here,
to
and that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
we should consider at some point horizontal drilling up under the creek and bringing it to the other side, the property values might go up over there. Who knows?
But the timing itself would depend on county. County would say, we're going to repave now, and that would then put any replacement of water main on Rochdale at that point to save that money would have to come when county is going to do it, right? So appropriations for that money would have to coincide with county on the road.
Yeah, but those seem to be most of the breaks happen on Rochdale, so we have to think about this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it would have to be aligned with county to save the money on digging it up, right?
I want to start talking. I think we should get closer.
Okay, I just thanks, you guys. I didn't
you're absolutely right. We got to get closer to the county.
Okay.
You know,
Anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Betty Jo Bialowski. You mean Nancy. Just kidding.
Nancy Warnick for Homestead Lane. I just would like to recommend that you ask Carmela when she's looking for asphalt products to look into the plastic mix of asphalt. That's something new.
Mm-hmm.
And it could last forever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where they're getting rid
good
of plastic.
Good to know.
And
yes, a little
thanks,
Nancy.
Absolutely right there,
Anyone?
Yes.
Sure. Oh, good.
Just like
Steve
Mocker, 17 Farm Lane. Steve was talking about the pipe bursting again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just like to suggest that if you're going to put that out to bid and you're going to use HDP, it's the same product that you'd use for pipe bursting,
mm-hmm.
you don't really have to lock yourself into an installation method. You could let it go out to bid either way and see who comes in cheaper. I suspect it would be open cut, but you don't have to lock that in on the specs. You could put out your bid in such a way that it could be bid both ways.
So when Carmela's writing this up to go out to bid, then she should not necessarily specify the method that the contractor would be using. Let them come up with it. And
let that work itself out in the bid process. You know, a pipe burster could come
Mike,
in
that's a
bid
point.
The job for pipe bursting, somebody else, you know, if you were using a different product, if it was a difference between using HDPE and bursting pipe or using DIP, then you'd have a significant difference between the two processes as far as materials went.
Right.
But if you're using HDPE and you're pulling it through the old pipe or if you're digging
like
a new hole, I don't see why you couldn't put it out both ways and just let the bid process take care of itself.
Okay. And on a technical question there, either way they're going to have to dig around the lateral in front of everybody's house anyway.
Well,
correct?
That's one of the things that I feel open cutting it would be cheaper is so
mm-hmm.
you could keep both lines live and you wouldn't have to deal with a temporary service. Any temporary piping, because if you pipe burst, now you have to take that line out of
fire
service
hydrant.
And you have to provide water to all the people on the street with temporary services.
Right.
So that's an additional cost onto just even if everything works out great with the pipe bursting, you can get the cable through, you can pull the mandrel through, everything goes good, you still have to take the line out of service.
Right.
So you still have that additional cost. But that would work itself out in the bid process with your pipe bursting guy comes in and says, hey, you know, I can do it cheaper. Well, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Have at it.
Mm-hmm. But that would be in the bid spec itself.
Yeah, you just,
when
you
Carmela
know,
puts it out, she says, how would you do it? Give me a price.
Just don't lock yourself into an installation method.
Yeah,
you're locked into a material, but not necessarily an installation method.
Right. Makes sense.
You don't have to, you know, structure your bid so tightly that
you're locking
the contractor
in.
Another
contractor. Yeah.
Now, I know the pipe bursting guy would just probably love it if you wrote the spec so it
was
pipe
bursting.
You know,
only five of us in New Jersey. Of course I'll do it.
Just wanted to make that suggestion.
No, that makes
Thank
good
you.
Sense.
Thanks
a lot,
Steve.
Yeah.
Going. Okay. Public comment is adjourned at 9:03. Do we need a closed session?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Great. Meeting is adjourned at 9:02.
Wait, all in favor?
Oh, sorry.
Aye.
Okay, we're out.
Somebody wouldn't say.
Matt?
Yeah, I have cards.